The resurrection is what separates Christianity from every other religion, and it is the heart of the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's what's changed the lives of lots and lots of people in this room. Amen? Yeah. And so this is a great day to be here. Since in our community, Resurrection Sunday is usually known as Easter. And so you may only refer to it that, and that's fine, although Easter sometimes can cause us to forget what this day is all about. There are lots of things we can celebrate about this day. A lot of people associate Easter with the beginning of spring, so praise the Lord, it's going to get a little warmer out, and for all of us who have allergies, it's going to be a wonderful time, right? And so we think about spring, and of course, we think a lot of family traditions. I don't know how many of you, if you've got kids, you've seen Easter egg hunts, like dozens of them to go to. I would recommend not attending this one. My wife saw this and said, yeah, that Easter egg could stay wherever it is. It's like, like, that's funny. There's a big difference between an annual Easter egg hunt and that Easter egg hunt. Parents, I'll leave that for you to explain later on. Of course, we have the traditions of taking our picture with the Easter bunny. That can go horribly wrong as well, especially when the Easter bunny looks incredibly creepy. So, you know, I don't know if that's really why we should celebrate Easter. I'm a big fan of chocolate, so nothing like the world's biggest chocolate Easter egg. A few hundred pounds of chocolate to celebrate the resurrection. But if you're like my family, these are the ticket right here, okay? Because there's enough sugar in these things to literally raise someone from the dead. And yeah, my family is a big fan of the Peeps. You know, there's all these different reasons to have fun at Easter and for it to be refreshing. But we need to remember that Easter is about the greatest battle ever fought to defeat the greatest enemies you and I will ever face. There's something to really celebrate that's good news for you and I. It's not about some person that we didn't really know who came back from life. It's really about overcoming all the things that want to take our life. And so what we celebrate is that the resurrection is our, yours and mine. It's our good news. It should mean something to us personally because it's our good news that our great God has defeated our worst enemies. You can say amen to that, right? Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about. It's the news, it's good news, that our great God has defeated our worst enemies. So let's take a moment to read the scriptures about what Christ's death and resurrection were, and then let's talk about that good news. The scriptures are on the front of your handout, and where there is bold italicized, that's your chance to jump in and say it out loud with me. Speaking of the very day that we celebrate, Mark 16, very early on, the first day of the week, after Jesus' crucifixion, and just after sunrise, they were on their way to Jesus' tomb. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting nearby. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified," and read with me now, "He has risen, he is not here. See the place that they laid him." Speaking of what Jesus did on the cross that leads us to the celebration of the resurrection, Isaiah says this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities." And read with me, "The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." The promise of the resurrection, the reason why this is good news, not just to say, oh, that's a nice thought, but good news that you and I literally can experience and take into our lives. The reason, the promise of the resurrection that you and I celebrate is found in Romans 8:11. "And if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you," join with me, "God who raised Christ from the dead will also give life and victory to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." That means the resurrection goes from being out here to something deep in here. And then 1 John tells us the meaning of the resurrection for the hard things you and I face in life. And I'm pretty sure there's not a person in here who's not facing something that's kind of an enemy to life, enemy to joy, enemy to peace in their life. This is what the Bible says is the reason why you and I celebrate the resurrection. Everyone who has new resurrection life from God overcomes the world. Join with me. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God? Before you hear too much more from me, let's bow our hearts and our heads and let's make sure we're hearing from God this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we have been worshiping you and declaring our hope and peace in you, and it's all about this very fact that you overcame the grave, and so we can overcome as well. Lord, we live in a world filled with bad news. Most of us can't even receive good news anymore. We've grown cold and cynical and hard-hearted and busy. We've learned not to hope anymore. Change us today by the power of your resurrection. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So the resurrection gives us this hope that is both super grounded in reality, but also promises something supernatural. The celebration is that at the cross, it got really real. Pain was real, suffering was real, injustice was real, abandonment was real. At the cross, Jesus faced the enemy's love. He has felt and he has gone through what we go through. That's the battle that counts towards the victory. But then our celebration is that at the resurrection, you see, Jesus overcame all these things. The very fact that he resurrected meant all these things came against him, and none of them defined him, changed his future, or kept him from accomplishing his purpose in life. That's good news. That's something we celebrate. Now, what we go from celebrating to experiencing is the fact that by faith, and that word faith is a really important word today. I want you to really think about that word faith today, okay? By faith, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that encountered all those enemies and Jesus overcame them, that same Spirit can be in you and I. That's what we experience. We don't just celebrate, we experience it, and we walk out of here with hope. And so this is the good news. Now, I don't know the last time you really were hoping for good news in life. I kind of mentioned in our prayer that we have been trained to expect bad news in this world. And you can't look at the news and you can't go on social media and not find bad news. For all the guys in the room, the reason why we're addicted to our ESPN app is we're just looking for the good news of somebody that we root for. It's the idea of, well, if I can't have victory in life, at least my team can have victory in life. And so I'm checking the scores all the time. I'm really interested if my team's going to win the tournament. I'm really interested if my person's going to be the last winner of American Idol. I'm really, really, really worried about if my man or woman's going to be the one who wins the presidency. I mean, if I can't win, I want someone else to win. I'm really concerned about who's winning in life. And really, the reason that is because in me, I'm made to want good news. But see, I've been taught in this life, don't expect good news. Don't expect good news. My experience in life has told me good news doesn't come. You should expect the worst. Now, what we've got to do is, so we come to this message of Easter, and we thought, isn't that a nice religious thought? And the reason we only put it in the box of religion is because everything in our world has says, don't think of good news. Don't hope. Don't have faith. And what we need to see is God wants to break that religious box and say, no, this is about you. It's about how you feel right now. It's about what's facing you. There is hope. There is victory. The proof of the resurrection says you have hope for victory in life. So we think about our experiences. I don't know about you. I was, I remember at the end of high school just wanting the good news. I mean, going to the mail every day to see if I got that scholarship. I mean, I was going all that because I wanted to hear about good news. Well, then I didn't get the scholarship. I remember thinking at the end of college, I had interviewed for my first job, and I'm really hoping I'm getting this job, and I'm literally waiting by the phone. I'm waiting for that call because I'm waiting. My life is kind of hinged around good news that I really want to hear. And then I didn't get that job. I remember my wife and I in the doctor's office as my wife was pregnant with our third daughter, Kate. and we were about halfway through the pregnancy when the doctor came in really grim. And he took an ultrasound, and he showed us something on it, and he said, this abnormality right here, and he asked us, he said these words next, I would understand if you would want to terminate this pregnancy because of this. And God had kind of already told our, you know, kind of had already spoke to our hearts about who Kate was. We already had her name, and we said, no, we're planning to go through with this pregnancy. And he said, well, sometimes depending on how the baby forms, some things that seem as they could be really severe, you might change. He says, small chance, but might change. And he said, in 6 weeks, you can have another ultrasound. We'll see. We'll see what the results are. Let me tell you what. Those 6 weeks, all I could think about was the good news I was hoping to hear. It didn't matter if I got a raise. It didn't matter if my team won. It didn't matter who was treating me wrong or right in life. I was living for one piece of good news. Now I'm going to finish that story in a little bit. But let me tell you what, that feeling of good news, that's what the resurrection should be to you. It doesn't matter if I get that raise. It doesn't matter if this goes right. It doesn't matter if these people. No, I'm waiting for the one piece of good news I really need in life. And that is, there is no weapon formed against me that'll prosper. I have proof in the resurrection that there's not an enemy that can steal the hope, purpose, and even peace in the midst of my life. That's what the resurrection is supposed to be. And what the scripture tells us is that Jesus, on the cross, he faced the enemies of this life. These aren't distant things unique to the cross, although I'll tell you how uniquely they were expressed at the cross. These are the fundamental things that you and I face every day. And to know that Jesus overcame them is to know that we can overcome them too. Because the same spirit that raised him above these things is the same spirit that God promises us. It really is good news. I mean, really good news. Good news that makes you not worry about other things because you know you have the most important news, the most important victory in life. So we're going to work backwards through this list. The scripture says, by his wounds, we are healed. That word is we, not somebody else. It's you and me. And the scripture says that Jesus, through the cross and the resurrection, he faced suffering. He faced physical suffering, and that he overcame it. He resurrected. It wasn't the final word about his life, his purpose, identity, his victory in life. You know, we read the Passion story, and there's five words right there that says, but Pilate had Jesus flogged. And we're like, okay, move on. That's great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's for lunch? Let's move on. But you need to stop and think about the wounds that Jesus really encountered for you and I. Because in that time, the worst thing you could do to someone besides crucify them was flog them. It was the Romans' way, 39 lashes, of putting you near death, but then keeping you alive. And the Bible says that Jesus was flogged. It was this instrument. It was 9 leather strands tied into it were barbed wire, rock, glass, and bone. And the Roman soldier that would do this would put those leather strands in a bucket of water so that when it was time to perform the torture, the strands were heavy. And what they would do is they would put Jesus up on a post and they'd put his arms up here so his whole back, nothing could hide. And then the Romans were very strategic in what they did. It was 13 lashes across the shoulder. And what the Roman soldier would do wasn't a one hand, it was a two hand, and it would go down across the shoulder, and he wouldn't go like this to pull back. He would go like this to pull back. 13 stripes across this trapezius muscle, totally separating this shoulder from the rest of the frame. He would do 13 on this, and then with the last 13, he would go straight down the back to expose the spine to make sure that the torture of leaning against the cross was complete. These are the wounds that Jesus suffered so that you and I could be healed. You know, probably the biggest criticism, and people often say it with snideness and bitterness in their voices, well, if God exists, then why do we have all this suffering? Well, you know, the Bible says that God has given us, men and women, the opportunity to make this world what we want it to be. We choose if it's going to be a place of peace, and we choose whether it's going to be a place of bitterness, war, and violence. And we don't just get to choose, but everybody else around us gets to choose. And so we see in the message of the resurrection that the answer of where is God in the middle of the suffering of this world? He's right in the middle of it, pouring out his Spirit for those who are suffering. That's the answer to that question. Where is God if there's suffering? The answer is he's in the middle of it, and he is giving his Spirit so that those who suffer can have victory over their suffering. That's good news for you and me. It's something we need to remember. The Bible also says that the punishment that brought us, me and you, peace, was on him. Well, the scripture says that after they flogged him, that what they did next was they let the Roman soldiers have their way with him, and they brought him into the praetorium, which was basically the soldiers' locker room. And there they were going to punish Jesus after 39 lashes for even daring to say he's a king and to say that there's a greater kingdom than Rome. They were going to punish him for who he was, and in that moment, it was supposed to bring us peace. Now, the scripture says that out of all the things they did, it highlights that they took a crown of thorns, and it's not the little rose bushes you and I are used to. No, these are Middle Eastern thorns. They are thick and big and strong. And they says they jammed this crown of thorns on his head. Medical personnel actually differ as to what they would say you would see on the outside when this happened. Some say you'd see tremendous blood loss. Some say you wouldn't see any, because they all agree on the next medical fact, that when this came into the skull, the trauma would cause a massive blood flow to go to the center of the brain, creating such pressure in the brain that there's no migraine on earth that could touch what Jesus experienced in that moment. I want you to realize that for our peace, this mind that Jesus had knew no peace. It knew pressure. It knew pressure, so much pressure, that he couldn't think straight. I mean, it's amazing to consider what he endured. But what are the first words of the resurrected Jesus to all the disciples in the room that they meet? Peace be with you. Do you recognize that the victory Jesus had over the pressure you feel in your life? And there's probably not a person here who doesn't feel pressure about what they're going through and about their future and about their job or what some situation. You feel pressure. Do you realize that Jesus endured the greatest pressure of all so that your mind could have peace? What a joy. Then the scripture tells us that he was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquities are not the transgressions. We'll read about that in a moment. Iniquities are the attitudes of our heart. They're what the Bible calls the sinful nature. It's not that I did something, it's that I want to do something. It's not that anybody saw me, it's that it's in my heart. It's that I do hate. You know, so many of us are all for peace, except when we're hurt, then it's okay to hate. There's no say, I mean, how is any peace going to happen in our world if someone doesn't decide, even though I received hurt, I'm going to forgive? But what we see is a world that says, once I hurt, I can hate, and it's okay. That's an iniquity. That is an inside of me, whether I ever say it, whether everybody knows I feel it on the inside. I'm selfish, and I can't help being selfish. It's like this sinful nature, here's the word, crushes who I am. You know, that's such an appropriate word, because the scripture says that when Jesus was on the cross, and we could take a lot of time to talk about the nails that went between his two wrist bones in the very center of all his nerves that went to his hand and down his spine. We could talk about that. And we could talk about how it was nailed in his ankles and the pain. I'm remembering that the Romans specifically had his legs bent when he was doing that because there was something they wanted to torture him with. You see, as much as the cross is a brutal issue of blood, what really kills you is suffocation. Remember, all these muscles are gone. All of the weight of this body is pressing in on the lungs to the extent that the muscles that cause you to breathe cannot overpower the distress and actually breathe. And so what Jesus would have to do on the cross is, with his legs bent to get a breath, since there was no ability to pull up here, he would have to put all of his weight on the nails in his ankles and push up. And when he pushed up, it would relieve the pressure and the weight, and he could breathe for a minute. Don't forget that his back is absolutely exposed, rubbing against the crossbar, the main bar of the cross. And he could get a breath, but then his legs, his muscles, just screaming in pain, would eventually give out and yank him back here, and he would feel this. Jesus did that for 6 hours. I don't know who says Christianity is for wimps, but you haven't read anything if you think so. Now, you know, God, our God, strong. The scripture says he opened not his mouth in the midst of all of this, except to speak the words of, Father, forgive them. Woman, here is your son. So, I mean, the beauty of what Jesus gave us. And it's literally true that on the crucifixion, the weight of sin, the weight of this dead, broken body was crushing his ability to breathe. Well, the Bible says, in the biblical language, the word for breath and spirit are the same in the Hebrew. I want you to think about this. Our sinful nature crushes our ability to breathe in the peace and the righteousness of God. It really overtakes us. And yet, Jesus gives his life for us. You know, there's a really important application to this in the modern kind of current debate we have in this world. You know, in this world right now, people will say, well, you know, some things church may call it sin or you may call it wrong, but that person was just born that way. And because they're born with that way, that's okay. Well, see, the gospel says 100% of us are born the wrong way. Not just some of us, all of us. That's the gospel message, that all of us have a sinful nature. In other words, it feels what? Natural. And what the Bible says is all of us are born with a sinful nature, an attitude that seems like it's just who we are. And yet, if we will trust in the God who created us and the sacrifices made, we never have to say, well, that's just how I am. Don't believe it. Do not believe it. That's not just how you are in any capacity in this world. When you struggle with sin, you are coming up against the iniquities of the sinful nature, and the good news of the resurrection is you never have to say, that's just how I am. I've met and I've walked through addictions. I've met people walking through addiction who says, I'll never change. This message says you absolutely can. When everything around you feels like I am so crushed by this, I can never change, you need to remember that Jesus on the cross won the victory over this. It is a miracle. It is a resurrection. But you can say, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen? Well, in all of these truths of what Jesus went through, the final is the most beautiful. It says he was pierced for our transgressions. Our transgressions are the literal acts of sin that we do. It's the things you feel guilty about at night when you think about them again. It's the things you think about when you feel bad, you meet somebody that you've sinned against, and when you see them, you think about it. Those are transgressions. They're the actions you take. And the scripture says that Jesus was pierced for those transgressions. Now, most of us think of just the wrist, which would be right, but it's interesting to note that in the New Testament, the only reference to piercing and Jesus on the cross is about the spear that goes in his side. It's the only one. Now, most people kind of had this idea, when you read it, you could think this, that, well, Jesus was dead, and the soldier just wanted to poke him in a way to see if he'd respond. Well, that's not at all what a Roman soldier would do. A Roman soldier wouldn't see if he's dead. A Roman soldier would ensure that he's dead. So what most historians tell us now is that the spear didn't go this way. The spear went this way. See, what the soldier would do was he would take this the spear and he would thrust it underneath the rib cage all the way to the what? The heart. Medical personnel will tell you that when it's a heart in stress, it takes on fluid. And there are historians who would literally say it's not the scourging and it wasn't the crown of thorns and it wasn't even the nails in his hands. Jesus died of a ruptured heart. Because that's why blood and water could come out of his side. I want you to think about that. The thing that ultimately took Jesus' life was a broken heart. A
a heart that stopped beating. In Jeremiah 9, and I forget the exact verse, it says these words. It says, the wounds of my people's heart are my wounds. Jesus chose to allow his heart to stop beating so yours could beat again. A matter of fact, the whole promise, the whole big storyline of the Bible is that we're born in sin, but God offers us a new life that is described as having a new heart and a new spirit in us, that he would remove our heart of stone. You know when you don't want to forgive that person anymore? That's a heart of stone. You know when you don't want to try again and you're just like, who cares anymore? That's a heart of stone. It says God's going to give you a heart of flesh. It feels again. It hopes again. It can forgive again. It is a miracle to feel that way. And the resurrection says that's exactly the miracle that you should expect. That you should have what? Faith for. Jesus' heart stopped beating so your heart could. And it's my joy to let my daughter Kate remind you of that message. Kate, would you come?
Like you've never been before, the life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor, and words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees, you think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat. Everything for your good. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. So tell your heart to beat again.
Resurrection Sunday says that there are certain enemies in your life that should lay you someplace in life. It should put you in a tomb, and it should stop your tomorrows. Like the angel would say to the people who are expecting to find Jesus overcome by those enemies we just talked about. And the good news is saying, hey, all these enemies should place you here, but he's not there. All those enemies should put Jesus in that tomb. He's not here anymore. You know, each of us in our life, we face suffering that tells us this is what your life's going to be like. And we face pressure that tells us this is where you should lay and sit down and stop trying. We face the sinful nature that tells us to give up, that we can't change. And we live with regrets and guilt that try to put us in our place. And the resurrection story is you don't have to lay there if you don't want to. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to lay there if you don't want to. That's where you go, yeah. That's like, yeah, that's good news. Like, you can choose for all that your heart's gone through to say, Lord Jesus, I have faith. I have faith that you could give me a new heart, that something new can start in me. Now, just remember, everything trained in you by this world tells you you shouldn't believe in that. But I want to tell you, God brought his message of hope in the middle of our reality. He brought it in the middle of our history. And so today, I want to encourage you to take a moment before God and say, God, am I believing for that victory in my life? Have I stopped believing? Have I really been so overcome that the world's put me in a tomb and I said, that's what I want? So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me and just close your eyes for a moment. If you're a Christian here today, I want to encourage you to find that place of defeat in your life and stop accepting it. Don't look at what you can do to change it. Remember, God can change it. And if you're here this morning and you can't remember the last time you really prayed or you really talked to God, if it's really questioned whether you really have a true relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, I would encourage you to make a decision today. To make a decision fresh and anew. Say, God, I just choose today for my trust and my hope, my faith to be in your life in me. Forgive me of my sin and my attitudes. Lord, take away the pressures that peace doesn't come from circumstance, it comes from you. Lord, the suffering, lift me up out of it. So I'm just going to ask that you make a decision in your heart right now. Lord Jesus, would you come into my heart and would you begin the victory and a new life in me that only you can give? I'm going to say a real simple prayer right now. And the prayer is this: God, I need you. My life gets beat up and broken like Jesus on the cross, except you come with your resurrection life and restore me. Lord, restore my family. God, maybe even restore is not the right word because it implies I'm getting what I had. Maybe resurrection is a different word. It's something I don't even know how to have and I have no reference for. Your promise says that I could have resurrection life. Give me something I've never had before in you. In our church, we say for anything to become real in your life, you got to be honest with three people. You got to be honest with God. You got to be honest with yourself, and then you need to be honest with one more person, someone who makes it real, not just in your mind, but something you do. So I'm going to invite you to be honest with me today. If you're making a decision to ask Jesus to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ today, to let his victory come in your life, I'm going to ask you just to open your eyes and raise your hand and look right at me and say, hey, Pastor Sean, that's my decision today. Else. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, sir. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this decision today. I thank you for this family. Lord, be its head, be its leader, be its guide. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for new life today. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to open your eyes and grab that survey. Would everybody here, would you grab the survey that Pastor Travis was leading you? Because we want to finish with one more response today. There's an A, B, C, and D on your card. If you're already a Christian and you already believe, check A. If today you made that decision to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd like you to choose B. And what we'll do with that is we're just going to send you just some information about what are the next steps. You'll notice on the back of the sermon, there's some next steps, including water baptism. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor Sean, to be honest, I'm undecided, but I'm here, and I mean, I'm paying attention to what you're saying. Then you should choose C. And I want you to know that this church, this is a church for you if you choose C. This is a place you can come and keep hearing more and come to understand what the gospel really means. We want you to do that. And maybe you're not any of these. Maybe you're D and say, hey, just to be honest, Pastor Sean, I don't ever plan to make that decision. And I don't do that to put you in the spot. I just do that because I think it's really healthy for you to be honest about you. That you say, you know, I don't think Jesus is the person. When I suffer, when I feel pressure, when I deal with the stuff in me, I don't think I'm choosing him. I just want you to have a moment of honesty. Say, you know what, I need to be honest about where I'm at. Maybe next week you'll turn your D into a B. But I want to encourage you. We're going to be praying for you. And even maybe share a few thoughts about what you can do next in your decision. So I'm going to ask you to fill that out and then just fold it up so the information is private on it, and just in the seat pocket either between you, just put it right in there. And what we can do is we can be praying for you. We can be looking at the small groups and the other responses. So today is about resurrection. It's about moments that we don't expect. It's God is alive. It's about celebrating victory. So I want to take one moment just to introduce a few people that I feel like are a victory to us and a joy and someone who I'm blessed. I'm going to ask Jamal Riley if he would come up and join me. Jamal just moved from St. Louis. He is the new director of our Chester YMCA. And I just wanted to introduce you to all of them. So would you welcome him as he comes? Jamal, God bless you, my friend. Jamal, we were thinking about this issue of resurrection life and what you guys do in the community every day. So we want to give you a little resurrection gift today. We want to give you a $200 scholarship for a kid for camp so that as you come to the summer, maybe a family who just needs a little extra help, we wish you'd do more, but we want to give something to say, hey, we believe in what you're doing, or believe in the new life to come through you and the why. And so would you just, on behalf of our congregation, accept this resurrection gift to say we love you and we're glad that you're in our community. Can we say thank you? God bless you, my friend. We're so glad that you're here. So for all of us Y people, you got to come by and be praying for Jamal. He's a great Christian brother who we're very blessed to have in our community. And so I wanted you to see his face so you could say hi to him and be praying for him and all the work at the Y. He didn't know I was going to totally put him on the spot up on stage. I said he was going to say hi. But Jamal, as you're here, we also want to say we want to encourage some other people who are taking some steps of resurrection. We've got a family missions trip coming up, and we were praying about it, and we wanted to bless a first-time family that's going to be taking that trip, as well as another family that serves so diligently at our church, and we know we want to bless them. So I'm going to ask Antoinette and Curtis, if they would come up. Where's Antoinette and Curtis? Hey, come on up here. We wanted to give you a gift towards your family missions trip as you're taking all the kiddos. And so we also wanted, where's Sharon Burt? Sharon, we wanted you and the girls to have a gift from us too, because we love how you serve our community. So why don't you guys come up as well? And we just want a little resurrection gift for you to say, hey, thanks for following the gospel on our behalf. We love you. And so we wanted also to give you guys a gift towards your missions trip. So as we do that, we're just going to say a word of prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand. And as we finish this prayer, Pastor Brandon's going to lead us in a moment of worship. But I want you to see these faces, these people we appreciate so much. Lord, thank you that the resurrection power of Jesus comes in ways that only our hearts can understand. And they come in the most practical ways. As we say, we'll give like you gave. Make us all people who are willing to give like you gave. And let resurrection come to the one who thinks things will never change. Let new life and forgiveness and freedom in you be known. Use us to do it. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, would you take one more moment to worship our risen King?